This series of presentations concerning Christian apologetics is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Dr. Paul Hennebury, president of TELUS Biblical Institute, will lead our study. It is our prayer that these presentations will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
All right, well, the fourth approach to Christian apologetics is a rather new approach. It often goes by the name of Reformed epistemology. And I suppose it's the most philosophically slanted view, although that's arguable. Remember that we've already looked at the classical view that uses the arguments for the existence of God, for example, from first cause, from design, from morality, and from necessity, and these kinds of things. We've looked at the evidences, the evidential approach, which points to historical, archaeological evidence within science, and so on. And we've said that, again, these approaches are very useful, but they're not certainly the whole story. And they do have some kind of collision with the text of Scripture as far as their starting assumptions are concerned. Last time we looked at the verificational approach, which is adopted by Ravi Zacharias and by Francis Schaeffer and John Warwick Montgomery and people like that. And we said that really the Bible doesn't present itself as the best hypothesis. It presents itself as the Word of God to be believed, not to be tested by human experimentation and falsification. Reformed epistemology, which is associated particularly in America with the Christian philosophers Alvin Plantinga, William Alston, and Nicholas Walterstorff, and a whole host of other important and very clever people. This way of approaching apologetics is kind of, it starts with a philosophical understanding of what it's doing. It's actually rooted in the thought of a very important 18th century philosopher by the name of Thomas Reid, who was a Scottish philosopher. He's almost been forgotten nowadays, but in the 18th and 19th century, Reid was one of the greatest philosophers. He was certainly held in very high esteem by many people, whether they agreed with him or not. He was a contemporary of the famous skeptic David Hume, and answered Hume in most of Hume's, if not all of Hume's, arguments in several of his treatises. It is very unfortunate that we've forgotten about Reid, and it's to the credit of people like Plantinga and Walterstorff that they have resurrected Reid's philosophy and added to it and shown that Christianity certainly, again, can create powerful arguments based on the realist approach of Reid's common sense. Let me basically describe what Reid's approach was, and I'll say a little bit about the way Plantinga and others use that approach. Thomas Reid believed in common sense, but by common sense he didn't mean what most of us take by that term, that, most people would agree with this, and therefore it's just common sense that this and that would be true. He didn't mean that. By common sense, he meant common experience. He meant something that we can't deny. For example, our consciousness. We have to assume that we're conscious in order to start talking, in order to start communicating. We have to assume that we are rational creatures and that we can speak about the outside world rationally. In other words, that there is a connection between the outside world and what's in our heads. And these are things that we just take for granted. These are necessary undergirding truths that we must hold to be true, and that in fact we do all hold to be true. So that was Reed's approach, and he developed it in all kinds of different areas, both ethical and scientific and epistemological. Now what this means, as far as Christian apologetics is concerned, has been used by Plantinga and Walter Storff Alston and Kelly Clark and many others to say this, and that is that we don't have this reductionistic view of simple truths that we then build upon in a Cartesian fashion. Certain foundational truths that we build upon. What this approach says is that belief in God is one of these common sense experiential facts that people don't have to prove, and they don't need to come up with proofs in order to be rational. This, in the same way that a person doesn't have to prove that they're conscious in order to believe that they're conscious, a person doesn't have to prove that God exists in order to believe that God exists. It's perfectly rational for a person to say that God exists. And in fact, Plantinga has gone even further than this, and he has shown that for a person who denies God and who denies the supernatural and just restricts himself to a naturalistic explanation of the world, that there's really no reason for them to believe that their consciousness actually produces factual truths and presents them to the mind. Rather, there's every reason, if we believe that the mind certainly just evolved for pragmatic purposes and for the propagation of the race, to believe that however the mind has adapted, it's just adapted to fit those pragmatic goals. It's not been concerned with truth. It's not been concerned with whether something is right or wrong. It's just been concerned with survival. And survival doesn't care about whether it's true or not. It just is concerned about survival. And so a person that believes that, just a naturalistic explanation, really doesn't have any foundations at all upon which to base a worldview. They may well be wrong about everything they assert. And there is good reason to doubt what they assert because of their evolutionistic and naturalistic outlook. But starting from a position where God exists, and God has implanted these necessary foundational truths within us, consciousness, rationality, proper function of our mental and physical faculties within our environment and so on, it is more than rational to say that belief in God, belief in the supernatural, is the right and proper way to go and is a good foundation upon which to build a society.